You're listening to the Fantasy 411 Podcast. Now here are Mike Ciano and Corey Schwartz.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the MLB.com Fantasy 411, August 7th, 2015, year of our Lord, 1AB. Mike Ciano along with Corey Stats Schwartz coming to you for the next 45, 50 minutes or so.
Maybe more if we
maybe
want.
Maybe more. Who knows? Bonus. Maybe bonus puntos. But we have a lot to go over. We're going to talk about the Utes, as Joe Pesci's character would say in My Cousin Vinny. We'll also do a little bit of the veterans as well. And, of course, as always, your Twitters. But first, a little housekeeping. Fantasy411.mlblogs.com for all of your fantasy fun with the Goose, two-star pitchers, which comes out on Fridays. And we're taping this on a Friday, by the way. We had a rain delay yesterday. And what else we have? We have Pitcher Ditch every day, two-star pitchers. Great stuff on the fantasy homepage going up from Zinke and the crew the other day. I was reading something that I really enjoyed. But also the closer report is always on there, as you've heard from our previous contributors here on the podcast, which I will say you'll be hearing a lot more of, Corey.
Fred and Dylan doing a good job setting down some roots. They sound good.
From roots grows a mighty oak.
From humble beginnings spring great things. We were once that too, you know.
No, that's right. At Fantasy 411 is the Twitter account. At Schwartzstops for Corey, and you can just follow me on Untapped. That's the only place I'm actually any useful, right, Big Mike? Big Mike knows. Big Mike cheers every beer I've ever had, but I appreciate it. I'm not engaging on that. I just post my stuff and run, because then the next time I forget what the heck I had, I can go back and reference it. To me, it's a reference. It's a beer library.
Each social media tool has different uses.
That's true.
Has different values.
That's true.
So I use them differently.
Yeah, well said. we do have
deep,
a lot
right?
to go over. There's,
let's jump in.
You know, I really didn't realize it, and I'm a little, not embarrassed, but disappointed in myself. The NL Rookie of the Year race is outstanding.
Sure is.
And we're going to get to that in a little bit. The network's been doing a great job covering that almost on a daily basis, because there's so many guys in it. You know, you hit a different correspondent from that relative city, a related city, I should say. You get this whole conversation going. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But Corey did a lot of yeoman's work here on his youth movement and his veteran bats heating up too.
Yeah,
those are underlined and bolded, by the way, that we have to get to them.
This is A block,
right?
Which is like A, B, C, and D block, and then this is
our podcast is all just one A block. Let's be honest.
It is.
You know what's good on a summer day?
Cold beer.
Well, besides that, while you're in the office,
not so cold beer.
No, I'd rather have a ice cold seltzer than a warm beer.
I don't want to take this podcast too far off the rails, but if I'm going to have carbonation into my body, it's going to be beer or it's going to be soda mixed with vodka. Otherwise, I will not have carbonation.
You don't like just a regular can of seltzer?
I won't have carbonation unless it contains alcohol.
Hmm. You have high value.
For purely social purposes, of course.
Yeah, always.
Only to be consumed in moderation and never when operating a vehicle or heavy machinery.
Or a golf cart. All right, so... Heavy. Nobody loves Carlos Correa more than you lately. It's funny, though, because it almost seems like once the Correa number one fantasy shortstop stuff started coming around, a guy that used to play in Colorado and now plays with our friends in Canada, Fred Zinke, Tulo's been, you know, pretty impressive. So I think he got mad. I think he got a little threatened by Correa.
All right, tell you what. Correa homered again Thursday, 6 homers in his last 10 games.
Amazing.
He's played roughly of a third of a season. So let's just take his, you know, 51 games, multiply that by 3 because he's played a third of a season. And what you get is 42 homers, 108 RBIs, and 24 steals with a .291 average. That sounds like a decent peak season from A-Rod, right?
Yeah.
Since his recall on June 8th, Carlos Correa leads all major league shortstops in runs, homers, RBIs, and steals, which is to say 4 of the 5 by 5 categories.
Yep.
You know, look, I'm not anti-Troy Tulowitzki or anything like that, but how do you not only look at Carlos Correa right now as not being the number one fantasy shortstop, but this reminds me of when Trout came up a couple of years ago. We're on August 7th right now. The question is, where in the first round does Correa go next year? This is not a question of, is he the number one shortstop? This is a question of, is this guy in the top 5, the top 3? You know, Goldschmidt and Trout look pretty solid for 1 and 2. You can make an argument right now, today, for Carlos Correa as the number 3 pick in a redraft league next year.
You know, we had a healthy debate before the season started, or right in April, about McCutchen or Goldschmidt,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, you did, you know, it was the old, do you want chocolate or peanut butter?
Yep.
And Goldschmidt, obviously, yeah, is having an insane year. You know, McCutchen, for his little bouts of quietness, and, you know, with the whole lower half and all that stuff, he's having a pretty good year, too.
The reason, you know, the last couple of years, like in the last 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. the first round always used to be about position scarcity. You know, get me a 5x5 guy or get me a shortstop or middle infield. The last few years, it's become a lot more about just get me the best player.
Right.
That's why Goldschmidt, Trout, McCutchen, mm-hmm. guys like that have moved up, because now you don't care if it's an outfielder or first baseman. Right. You just want the best guy. Correa is the middle infielder that you can look at, because even when Cano was the number one second baseman, never gave you the speed.
Right.
Well, all right, he's 8th overall or 10th overall. This is the first time in maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years since Tulowitzki was healthy and putting up those monster years that you can have a shortstop and say, all right, maybe now we mm-hmm. can get back to that, going not only for stats but the position.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, very good point. And, you know, as we always say, if somebody moves into the first round, somebody has to move out.
Yep.
Cano, out?
Cano's way out. Bryce Harper's definitely in now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas he was always sort of a fringy mm-hmm. first rounder, just more on hype than performance, he's the real deal now.
What about Miggy?
He's still got to be a first rounder,
you would think, but now he's I mean, it's funny because you might be able to get Miggy at the wheel.
Yeah. Altuve's going to drop out probably, having a very good year, but not like last year.
Yep.
You know, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
All right. Nick Swisher is going from Indians to Braves.
Okay.
Breaking news
that people will hear about 8 hours from now when the trade's already done. All right, go ahead.
All right, so Kyle Schwarber. I thought he only was going to hit when he was in Cincinnati. Apparently that's not the case.
The Schwarb
is ripping it up as well. And if he keeps going like this, he could be in the Rookie of the Year conversation.
He too homered on Thursday. Well. Only 79 at bats, so small sample size, but 342, 429 OBP, 633 slugging. That's crazy. And you look at his minor league numbers. He played 147 minor league games, so you'd call that mostly a season.
Mm-hmm.
A 1.042 OPS, 333 with 34 homers. This guy can crush. Now, small problem in Cubby land.
No problem, because I got more breaking news for you.
Okay. Miguel Montero comes off the DL today, did come off the DL today, Thursday. Montero's your catcher. What are you going to do, Mike? Oh, here's what you're going to do when you have Joe Maddon as your manager. Schwarber's going to start playing some left field when he's not catching. Chris Coughlin's going to move around like Ben Zobrist. Jorge Soler and Dexter Fowler maybe give up some at-bats. And we already have the proof of this on day one, Thursday, starting lineup. Kyle Schwarber in left field.
Yep.
Coughlin moves in and plays second base.
Yep.
Addison Russell shifts over and plays short and gives Starlin Castro a rest.
It's not a rest.
Is it a benching?
It's a benching. Joe Maddon, it just came out before I came into the studio, that Joe Maddon basically said it's not a day off.
You're the backup shortstop now?
Yeah, you're the backup shortstop.
Well, there you go.
Because they have to get all your points were correct, except that Castro may be done as fantasy relevant.
Well, you know, look, on days.
At least in this year in a Cubs uniform.
On days when Schwarber catches.
Well, sure.
You know, you're going to have Coughlin out in left field unless they're
Castro's
facing
not
a lefty.
An everyday player anymore.
Absolutely.
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it looks like.
And look, based on performance, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, you give each player, let's say in a non-keeper redraft league,
mm-hmm.
the rule of thumb is 26 weeks in the season minus the round in which you took the guy. That's how many weeks mm-hmm. you give the player. Starlin Castro this year is probably an 8th or 10th round player. We're at the threshold where he's no longer Starlin Castro. He's a collection of stats that aren't that great.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Chris Coughlin has double-double homers and RBI, homers and steals,
mm-hmm.
Is getting on base, not hitting for a high average, but has a good OBP. And as Maddon noted in the piece that I was reading, Coughlin, he said, makes harder outs than anybody on the team. He's got only a 275 batting average on balls in play.
BABIP.
You give him another 20 points in BABIP, which is, you know, about league average, suddenly you've got a guy hitting 280 with all the other good stuff that comes on around that. So, you know, Coughlin has earned the playing time. Castro hasn't.
I almost grabbed the going away for a little weekend. Nothing crazy. Almost grabbed the BABIP T-shirt.
Yeah.
Chose against it. Went with a collared polo instead.
You can wear both, you know.
But I was thinking about you.
Yeah, I was thinking about me, too.
Hey, Lundy, I'm getting text messages from Secaucus saying that they can see me on the TV screen. So let's put up that slate that Krusty the Clown uses when he has a Technical difficulties. You haven't seen that slate? The guy's drunk behind the camera. Like, please stand by. Technical cool. difficulties.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't want Doug Jacklin looking at me. I don't put him in the bathroom. I don't want him looking at my dice.
I assume we're going to splice this out.
No.
Okay.
We're live.
Do it live.
Let's do it live.
All right, keep going.
It's a podcast. Everybody, stop taking themselves so seriously.
All right, keep going.
But yeah, breaking news. Breaking news with that on Starlin Castro that you'll hear about in 8 hours. Anyway, Severino, amazing. Don't chase wins. I mean, listen, he only pitched 5 innings, so let's take it a little easy. But 7 strikeouts in the debut. That was the one game they lose in the series. Supposedly, now all of a sudden the Yankees can't hit when the Red Sox roll out, on paper, the 3 worst pitchers they've ever rolled out in a series against the Yankees since, like, 1914. Do you agree?
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, so nice transition there from talking about bats to talking about pitchers. Luis Severino, 7 strikeouts and no walks in his major league debut. Other than a solo homer to David Ortiz, he gets through 5 innings without any hassle. You know, elite, elite pitching prospect. 230 ERA and a 102 whip in 321 minor league innings. Strikeout per inning, 4-1 strikeout to walk rate. Power stuff. 94-98 with the fastball. Hard slider. Got the slider up close to 90-91, but also down to 84. So a little erratic in the velocity, but a power slider, power changeup, and even mixed in a couple of pitches that I would say looked like cutters. Had a little bit of the slider movement, but a little bit more fastball velocity, so maybe 4 of those. So a power repertoire. You know, he's going to be in the rotation from here on out, but the thing you have to be concerned is, young guy, you know, only 21 years old, how many innings and how many pitches will he be allowed to throw in any game and from now until the end of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's going to, you know, he's going to keep getting chances until something else has to give, but we'll see. Now, John Gray, it was a day of debuts. It was Severino, it was Gray, and it was Henry Owens. None of them pitched more than 5 full innings. Gray, only 4, Corey. Yeah, listen, Colorado, who did he pitch against again? Was it Pittsburgh? Seattle.
Right. You know, Jonathan Gray's minor league numbers aren't that great. Again, a strikeout to inning, 3-1 strikeout to walk, very good, but a 3.82 ERA. But you got to look at where he pitched. Modesto in the California League, Tulsa in the Texas League, and Albuquerque in the PCL. That's basically the murderer's row of hitters leagues. Mm-hmm. Those are the best hitters leagues in each classification, and those are great hitters parks. So for him to put up those numbers in that environment is actually very good. The problem is now he's going into the Modesto and Tulsa and Albuquerque of the major
rolled
leagues.
Rolled into one.
Right, known as Coors Field. So, you know, his numbers superficially might not be as good as some of these other guys, but you have to, you know, sort of take that into account, the context. Fastball touch 97, hard slider, mixed in a change here or there, but that doesn't look like a main part of his repertoire. You can keep an eye on this one. This is a guy who's said to be a top-of-the-rotation power pitcher. His velocity kind of came and went throughout the minor leagues. You know, when they drafted him a couple years ago, 3 overall, they said he'd throw 100.
Right.
97 ain't bad.
No.
This is a guy you probably, you know, in a pitcher ditch type of format, you want to look at in road starts, deeper keeper leagues, NL-only leagues, stuff like that. But in a typical 12-team mix, you're probably not going to roster him unless it's a road start. But with that kind of stuff and even decent success in those environments, yeah, he's got to be on the radar.
And, you know, I was watching, I guess it was Monday night. It was the Mets game on SMY, Bartolo versus Kohler. Bartolo Colon. And they were talking about Syndergaard's performance the previous night on Sunday Night Baseball. And Gary Cohen, I thought, brought up a good point because, you know, Syndergaard has gone, what, 18 innings without a walk? Mm-hmm. He's been just, you know, he won player of the week. He had no walks, a 2-start week with no walks and like almost 20 strikeouts. And they talked about, you know, the line you always bring up about Jason Gray, what is he doing different? They talked about him adding a cutter with Dan Worthen. And then Gary Cohen brought up a really good point, though. He's like, yes, Ron Darling, do you remember a time when so many guys threw hard, but not only that they threw hard, but they had control.
Command. Yeah.
And that they were young.
Yeah.
You know, and going back to these three guys the other day, all, you know, Severino had no walks. Gray only pitched 4 innings, so 2 walks isn't as impressive. Henry Owens, 5 innings, 1 walk. Yep. I mean, kind of scary. If these guys have control and this kind of stuff, you wonder where you're going to get your offense on draft day.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's why, you know, the more pitching there is, the more I say draft hitters.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Henry Owens is sort of the opposite of Gray or Severino. Superficially, obviously, not only because he's a lefty,
right.
But his stuff, you know, his fastball, he can throw 93, 94, but he sits around 90, 91.
That's fine.
Change-up slider and a slow curve, like in the low 70s, you know, left-handed. Doesn't have great command, but he's one of those guys they say knows how to pitch. Change velocity, change eye level, in, out, up, down, whatever. Five strong innings against the Yankees. Gave up 3 runs, 5 strikeouts, only 1 walk. He probably will walk a little bit more than you'd like to see because he doesn't have dominating stuff and he's got to, I don't want to say nibble, but he's got to, you know, pitch. But he looks like he could be a pretty solid mid-rotation starter. Like Gray, I think you're going to pitch or ditch him for now. Severino is a guy I think you want to pick up right away. Owens is a guy you're going to keep in that pitch or ditch mix because you're going to probably want to spot him against some softer matchups until you get a feel for what he can do at the major league level.
Yeah, and from what I could see about Severino, just to make a point, is the second that
we're doing here is
the second that the Yankees didn't trade for a starter, it was just do the math. Somebody had to come up. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody had to get into that rotation. So I think Severino got picked up. I'm sure his own percentage or owned percentage went skyrocketed. You know, somewhere between. July 31st at 4:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and August 1st at noon.
You trying to say we're stale? Really?
I'm not saying we're stale. I'm just saying that, you know, you should always go take a look because you never know, but don't expect him to be available.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
In most formats.
Don't assume, Mike.
He will be available in NL-only leagues. Okay. There you go.
I'm just shaking my head at that one.
SMH? You SMHing me? Closer Follies time? Cue up the Calypso music?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. The music?
No, or the analysis.
Closers come and we want to go home. All right. Aradis Vizcaíno.
Fifth littered with closer from the future.
Aradis Vizcaíno gets his first major league save of the future.
From the future.
Mike, here comes Michael J. Fox. Aradis Vizcaíno gets his first major league save on Thursday.
Get out of here.
For the Braves against the Marlins. 8 straight scoreless outings, only 1 run allowed in 12.2 innings so far this year. You know, it's funny. When the Braves traded Kimbrel on opening day or right before,
Yep. Is
it going to be Grilly? Is it going to be Johnson? It became Grilly. Then, you know, Johnson got a few saves here and there. And then everybody figured, all right, Grilly will be trade bait, and then Johnson will become the closer. Grilly gets hurt, and Johnson gets traded. So it was only like 10 days or 2 weeks ago that people even started thinking about Aradis Vizcaíno, and he's been terrific. And, you know, he missed basically two whole years after Tommy John surgery, 12 and 13. So we said Jonathan Gray, rumored to throw 100, throws 97. Vizcaíno, no rumors. He touches 100. He sits 97, 98, and he can reach 100. Power tumbling slider. I mean, basically a two-pitch pitcher, but just dominating power stuff. You know, the road to fifth is lined with closers of the future, but if you're going to bet on a young closer, bet on a guy who throws 100 and doesn't walk as many people.
Yeah, and to correct myself, the road to first is lined with closers from the future.
Right, because you just get them before they're closers, right. And then you have all the closers.
Let's lump in some teammates here that are in the news.
There's a young player angle, though.
Yeah, there is a young player angle on this one, and that is Mookie Betts and Ruzny Castillo, who looked absolutely tremendous to Yankee fans and awful to Red Sox fans as the last out last night. That was a terrible at bat. Yeah, I mean, you have it down here, but he's going to strike out a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. So quickly on Betts, visited a concussion specialist on Thursday. All reports are positive. He's expected to rejoin the club in Detroit this weekend. Will continue to work out and could be back with the Red Sox sometime next week. The reason I bring that up, when we have a few days to go.
Yes.
Ruzny Castillo hit leadoff on Thursday for the first time in his major league career, a spot that's typically occupied by, that's right, Mookie Betts.
Yep.
Castillo struggled in his first go-around this year. But since he came back on July 27th, only 34 plate appearances, but hitting .355, .394 OBP, .516 slugging, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Betts comes back, because both of these guys somewhat have the leadoff player skills, a little bit of pop, good base stealing, decent on-base skills. It'll be interesting to see how they structure that top of the lineup with these two young players. Well, young-ish, Castillo's 27, but, you know, still a rookie-type player.
So that deal is official. Did you see that?
I did not.
The Braves acquired Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne from the Indians.
All right.
For Chris Johnson.
What the what?
I don't know.
All right, contract shuffling.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, John Hart has been slowly but surely and sometimes with with one swoop of the pen there, you know, making some moves and getting that team ready for when that ballpark opens. I mean, I don't know what Michael Bourne and Nick Swisher have to do with 2017, but that's really interesting. Very rarely do you see a trade like that where it's just all veterans and for two teams going nowhere
It's something.
Huh.
Anyway.
I mean, but okay, but wait a second. Does this open the door for anybody in Cleveland?
I would assume it creates, you know, Swisher and Bourne will probably play fairly regularly in Atlanta just because of all the injuries they have, you know, Freeman being hurt again.
Yeah, right. Swisher can go to first.
Right. You know, Johnson basically is going to be a four-corner utility player. You know, I don't see it.
But, I mean, Bourne was playing.
Semi-regularly.
Yeah, semi-regularly.
Yeah. I don't think this is really going to change.
Oh, that's fair. All right, well, moving along. Strasburg coming off the DL this weekend, but more importantly, somebody is out in that rotation.
Here's the ripple effect that leads us to
the
young guns.
You just keep making your point. Go ahead.
Strasburg, 11 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings and a rehab start for AAA Syracuse. Came through his bullpen session fine. He will return to the rotation Saturday in Colorado, which is to say maybe today when you're listening to this. He was starting to pitch a lot better before going on the DL. 18-4 strikeout to walk in his last 15 2/3. Obviously, he's a guy you're going to get in there. Strasburg comes back. Doug Fister goes to the bullpen. He's the Starlin Castro this year of starting pitchers.
Wild.
4.60 ERA.
Yep.
He's in the bullpen, which means, and here's your young gun angle.
Do it.
Joe Ross gets to stay in the rotation.
Yep.
Elias Sports Bureau tweeted this note out last night. Through his first 7 career starts, Joe Ross, Tyson's little brother, I might add, has the highest strikeout-to-walk ratio in Major League history through the first 7 starts of a pitcher's career. 11-8 strikeout-to-walk rate through his first 7 starts. No one has ever done better than that. That is nuts. And the Nationals, look, they got Strasburg back now. They got Zimmerman. They got Worth. They're starting to get healthy. They got a battle with a Mets team that is reinvigorated, but this Nationals team looks like they're getting it together at the right time. So, you know, you've got to be a little bit concerned with injury with innings for Joe Ross, but as for right now, he's going to stay in that rotation, so his value gets a big bump over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Just because I can't control myself and I love the At-Bat app and our Prospect Watch.
All right.
I'm looking at the top 30 prospects in the Cleveland system. Coincidentally, 3 of the top 5 are outfielders.
Mm.
We know Clint Frazier. We've heard of Bradley Zimmer. They're both a little away. But Tyler Naquin.
Tyler, yeah.
Am I saying that right? Naquin or Naquin?
I believe so, yeah.
Maybe Naquin. Having himself a nice little year. 300 hitter. He has 6 homers, double-digit steals. Well, maybe he gets a chance.
All right.
An AL only? Keeper league?
Sure, there you go.
Maybe. Just maybe. And then finally, the Brandon Larson of the National League. Well, Brandon Larson wasn't in the National League. I mean, talk about just disappointment. And I thought he was an easy guy to root for, but you know, and it was funny that, you know, when Zach Greinke's having a very weird first inning the other day, Dom Brown puts the nail in the coffin for half an inning.
Dominic Brown.
That game was 6-5. 5 minutes later,
just when we think we're out, yep. Dominic Brown pulls us right back in.
Back in.
2 homers in 210 at bats in AAA.
Unbelievable.
Forgotten man. Last 9 games at the major league level.
On the major league level.
3 homers, 13 RBIs. Suddenly, the guy's a run producer again. I'm throwing my hands up in the air. I don't know what to tell you. You know, this is the time of year where you go for production.
Yep.
The Phillies offense is hot. He's swinging a hot bat. See what happens. You know, look, we had a first half of the season where he hit, 20-something homers just a couple of years ago. Who's to say he can't get hot down the stretch? I wouldn't make an emotional or a strong financial or roster spot commitment in this.
Mm-hmm.
But if he were a free agent in my league, I might pick him up and slap him in there as an OF5 utility and see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, OF5 sounds pretty good if you need a little jolt in your offense. And listen, I mean, especially if you're in a deep league, if you're in a 12 team, is Dom Brown right now a top 72 player if you combine 5 outfielders and a ute? Probably not. But you know what? If you have some injury problems or whatever, you know, 16-team league mix that I'm in, Dom Brown's a little attractive right now.
And look, even in 12, because in 12-team leagues, I always think about it as, you know, it's almost like pitcher ditch with your offense, where your last outfield spot and your utility, you're probably going to cycle through a lot of Monday, Thursday stuff. I might take a look at Dominic Brown right now. You know why? Because he's hitting. Yeah. This is a time of year for production. You go for the stats. You worry less about the names. And, you know, we can all make jokes about what has happened to the guy in his career, and it's only 9 games. But why not? Why can't a guy stay hot for a month? Yeah, you know, we've seen better players than him go ice cold for a month or 6 weeks.
Oh,
why can't he get hot?
Have you seen Jock Peterson and Chris Bryant the second half of the season?
Yeah.
You know, not to pick on them because we love them to death, but they've been pretty terrible. So, Don Brown, you can cut Jock Peterson and Chris Bryant right now for Don Brown.
I mean, Jock Peterson's hitting like 130-something since the All-Star.
Really bad. He was in, 0-for-20. Looking at Dom's game log real quick, just trying to
see. Well, I gave you the important part, 3 homers and 13 RBIs in his last 9 games.
No, I just want to see. I mean, is he fit? Thank you.
You did the work.
But is he facing lefties, too? It's a legitimate question. No, he's not. Which is fine. I mean, it's expected. But sure. could you imagine if all of a sudden he's in the lineup against lefties? Yeah.
But that's what makes him the sort of the Monday, Thursday outfield five type thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let's just talk about real quick the NL Rookie of the Year race.
Okay.
And listen, it means something because it means that these 6-7 guys are having very good years, mm-hmm. which means they have value in your fantasy league. One thing I did not realize, because I think I had him on an NL-only team last year, so I just assumed, I did not know Randall Grichuk was a rookie.
Yeah, he is.
He is having quite the year.
The last time I looked, and it's been a little while, mm-hmm. but the last time I checked, minimum something like 50 batted balls, he had the second highest exit velocity mm-hmm. in baseball behind Stanton. Look, it doesn't matter if he's second or fifth or eighth. The point is, he's stinging the ball.
And he's playing. I mean, and he's going to play, you know, with Matt Holliday especially, but... That wasn't really he wasn't the main beneficiary from Holiday, was he? He was the main beneficiary from
Piscotty.
Exactly. So he's having a great year. A guy I got for $1 on draft day, and now he's got keeper value.
Good power, can steal a bag. You know, could steal 8 to 10 over a full season. The batting average is going to be a little concerned because of the poor strikeout to walk rate, but he makes such hard contact. It's like you used to say about Chris Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he strikes out a lot, when he hits it so hard mm-hmm. that. You're going to get a lot more hits out of it. So Grichuk could be a consistent 280 hitter, even with a lower OBP, but those power numbers are legit.
Yeah, and Brian and Peterson, the main reason I brought that up was to, you know, point out, you know, they're obviously in the mix, you know, and if they bounce back, which I think they will, especially Bryant, you know, it might not become a conversation anymore, but Kang is in there from the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Grichuk, who else was it? Matt Duffy.
Matt
Duffy having a great year.
You know who's having a great year? Who's been unbelievable lately? Michael Franco of the Phillies.
Michael Franco, thank you. That's the one I couldn't remember. Remember I told you I drafted him in that league?
You take his numbers and prorate them out over a full season, he's a 100 RBI guy. I mean, look, RBIs don't tell you anything in quote-unquote real baseball, but as long as it's a 5x5 league, that's a ton of value. And the amazing thing is, you look at their lineup, you wonder where the production's coming from, but Franco's been swinging a hot bat.
Yep.
Howard's been, you know, giving you the power numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, getting the counting stats, right.
You know, Cesar Hernandez has been playing great.
You
know, Dominic Brown is playing well. So they're just sort of scraping it together.
Best team in baseball second half. Were they 12-2 the first 14 games out of the gate?
And we just mentioned 6 hitters.
Yes.
We didn't mention Noah Syndergaard.
Yep.
We didn't mention Chris Heston, who has a no-hitter.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys having nice.
NL is very deep right now. So, and Franco was the guy... That when I was telling you about that keeper league I'm in, where you only get to keep one guy. So a lot of these, I mean, you know, we always say lottery ticket. This league is a definition of lottery ticket. And, you know, Franco was, to me, the forgotten prospect
mm-hmm.
coming into this year. He was, I think, because people knew he was going to be or assumed he was going to be on a bad team, which he ended up being on. And you just didn't know that much about him. He wasn't the sexy player like a Chris Bryant or you know, whatever.
Well, you know, we talked about Franco right around the time he got called up, and I think, you know, I tend to sort of lean towards the numbers and be analytic or whatever, but one of the soft factors we talked about was his ability to make adjustments
mm-hmm.
as a hitter. And I read a lot of that right around the time he got called up, that one of the things that impressed scouts and the Phillies and people who saw him is that, you know, his numbers were pretty good, not great. But the way he was making adjustments, and then particularly the last few weeks before they called him up. And you look at a guy right now who doesn't have the great strikeout to walk numbers, pretty good but not great, but who's making adjustments, making a lot of hard contact. He's not striking out like Jock Peterson is, that's for sure. You know, that's one of the things that impressed me about Bryce Harper when he got brought up. And I'm not comparing these two players, but, you know, Harper, when he first got called up, went bananas, then went into a huge slump, and then finished really, really strong in, you know, August and September. I guess that was 2011 or 12 now. What that told me, and again, it could just be random fluctuations, you know, whatever, is that the league made an adjustment to him, and he got, and he figured it out, and he came back and made the adjustment right back and finished strong. And now you're seeing it this year. He's, I mean, forget adjusting, you know?
Yeah.
He's adjusted onto a different level.
He's adjusted to Gatorade commercials.
Yeah.
With Peyton Manning. All right. So I thought that was interesting to, you know, keep an eye out on that. Everybody thought, oh, you know, it's just going to be about Peterson and Chris Bryant. Nope.
Right.
Sir.
You get to keep, your keeper list is due today, and you get to keep one guy. Which of these guys are you keeping for next year?
Just the hitters?
Anybody. We just named nine players, I think.
For the NL Rookie of the Year stuff or from your list here?
No, from the our NL Rookie of the Year candidates, we named eight guys. And there's a full list on the site. If you go to stats.mlb.com and click top rookies, there's all of them.
Yep, they're all there.
Out of these eight guys, you get one keeper for next year. Who are you keeping?
I think it's I'm pretty certain it's Bryant, but I would prefer if it was Peterson. Because I think he has, I think he could bring more to the table. But, I mean, you got to be down on him now because of the strikeouts and the slump he's in. But Bryant, I think it'd be Bryant.
Okay.
What would you do?
Probably Bryant.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong, you know. But the fact you get, you know, and you brought up this last time, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, you know, the year Joe Panik's having. Yeah. You look at the year Brandon. I mean, I think you brought this up. The Giants infield is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I just want to point out that in Tout Wars, I drafted Brandon Crawford in the reserve round. Great foresight. Great pick. And cut him like 3 weeks into the season. Because he got off to a terrible start. I don't know who my middle infielders were at the time, but I decided I would rather gamble on them. And Crawford, like, leads all major league shortstops in homers and RBIs. Although Carlos Correa will catch him in 2 weeks.
And I will point out, as I've done before, but you may have missed it or forgotten, that in a 16-team mixed... I picked up Brandon Crawford off the wire.
Crazy, right?
In like May.
Yeah.
And I inserted him into my starting shortstop, and he's been there ever since. I was, I had Gene Segura. I drafted Gene Segura. Think about that. I don't even think Crawford was, he had to have been drafted, but somebody must have given up on him foolishly like you.
Thanks.
All right, veteran bats to talk about.
And enough about these kids. Get off my lawn.
I love Matt Carpenter. He's so good. Victor Martinez and Matt Carpenter, Lucas Duda, B5, of course.
I was going to save him to the last, but you just spoiled it. Spoiler alert!
First time I'm looking at it. But
spoiler alert.
Talk about V-Mark, because you're right, he's been phenomenal lately.
Pair of dingers on Thursday. You know, you got to forget, he's not the hitter he was last year. Anybody who drafted him based on a repeated at, out of their minds. He's been terrible. 246.
Brandon Crawford cutting him
terrible,
out of your mind?
Terrible. 311 OBP, 377 overall. Terrible overall numbers. But here's the thing. Since coming back from that knee injury, he hasn't hit for a ton of average, but he's driving the ball again. In his last 41 games since coming back off the DL, a little under 2 months, 7 homers and 28 RBIs in 41 games with 10 doubles. That's good V-Mart type production. So that the reason I bring this up is that his overall numbers are still so bad that you might be able to go out and in a non-keeper league or any kind of league where you need that late jolt, you might be able to get him at a little bit of a discount. Now, to be fair, the Victor Martinez owner knows what Victor Martinez is doing. It's not like he's going to say, oh, he's so bad. But you might be able to sort of play up that angle that he struggled for so long. You don't know what the end numbers are going to be. If the knee's healthy, they're sort of in a rebuilding year. The fact that he's at least hitting for power again shows that knee is better and he's able to drive the ball more because he's got the bottom half underneath him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, God, even a younger player, if you have something like that with the knee, it's going to take a little time to come around. But for, you know, for snaggletooths like V-Mart and Corey Schwartz and Mike Ciano, forget it. Yeah. Take the rest of your life.
You know, quick note about trying to buy low. You know, Scott Pianowski of Yahoo calls people out on this all the time, so I hope not me. And this is his point that I just stole. Nobody knows what Victor Martinez is doing better than the guy who has Victor Martinez on his roster. But there are other ways you can play it. You know, you always see in a player what you want to see. And you try and convince the guy that this for this is fair because of these concerns I have about V-Mart. And then who knows, maybe it works.
Yeah. Okay, now Matt Carpenter. You know, He was struggling there. I mean, like you mentioned in your notes that you'll get to, and as an owner of him, I was, you know, I was sitting there like almost befuddled. You know, how could a guy with this approach struggle this mightily for this long? And it was long. It was a month and a half?
Yeah, I mean, he went 7 weeks.
Yeah.
So these are, again, a little bit selective end dates, but it's a big enough chunk that the story matters no matter what. 7 week span from early June to late July, 146 at bats. He had a 539 OPS, not a 539 slugging percentage, Mike.
Yeah.
He hit 171 with a 299 OBP and a 240 slugging percentage. In 146 at bats, he had 4 doubles and 2 homers. That's like a good week for Madison Bumgarner. But the crazy thing is, he was still drawing his walks, 24 walks. The problem with Carpenter is that this year, he seems to be evolving and changing a little bit as a hitter. A lot more fly balls, a lot more swing and miss. I don't know if that's by design or if it's just a function of, you know, random fluctuation, whatever. But Carpenter is hitting a lot more fly balls this year and consequently a lot more home runs, but he's also striking out a lot more. So we may be seeing him, you know, with the injuries, is he trying to change his game? They dropped him down in the lineup a little bit. I think that was a reaction to the slump and not a precursor to the slump. But he seems to be evolving a little bit as a hitter. And maybe that, you know, as we go forward, we say, all right, he's not a 310 homer hitter. Maybe he's a 280, 15 to 18 home run guy. You sort of recalibrate your thinking a little bit.
Okay. But yeah, he's been lighting it up, and I've been very, very happy and benefiting greatly from it.
I'm pleased.
I thank you. I'm pleased that you're pleased. The legend of Lucas Duda. Legendary. You know, the Dom Brown of the New York Mets. Someone who Met fans just wanted to go away. They couldn't take it anymore. Why is he still on the team? Blah, 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 blah. And he just goes on just an epic run.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say since the All-Star break. In his last 11 games, 9 homers, 2 doubles thrown in, an 1103 OPS. And now suddenly his overall numbers, you know, 53 RBIs isn't great, but 249 with 21 homers, you're looking at a repeat of what he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not how you wanted him to get there, but now he's there. You know, I don't know if there's really anything that special to analyze here other than the fact that he's being very aggressive and, you know, he's starting to drive balls for power that aren't, you know, he's got that sort of lefty swing. You're looking for down and in to hit the golf shot. He hit one a couple of nights ago, and I think Ron Darling was talking a lot about this on the SNY broadcast. It was up and in,
mm-hmm.
and he got his hands in and still managed to stay inside the ball enough to pull it and, mm-hmm. and pull it with power. You know, he's a big, strong guy, and if he can square it up, it's going to go. So, you know, I think he kind of is what he is right now, that 250, 30 to 35 home run guy, but at least now you can breathe easy that the overall numbers are where you thought they would be, and now that's how you can value him going forward.
And now your boy. Go ahead, talk about
your boy.
I saved
him till last.
You did. You saved him till last.
Saved him till last. I said at Ron Chandler's first pitch forum this year, the traveling road show,
mm-hmm.
the one that we did in the first weekend of March, I said if there was one player in baseball who could make a run at 50 homers, not a gold key lock or anything like that, but the guy I think could make a run at 50, I said it was Edwin Encarnacion. And that's a little bit of hyperbole because I'm a big E5 fan, as everybody knows, but you're looking at a guy, an extreme, extreme fly ball hitter,
mm-hmm.
incredible batting eye, great offensive ballpark, tons of bats around him.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I mean, protection everywhere at the beginning of the season. Reyes, Martin, Donaldson, Bautista, all that stuff they had going on. But I think the back problem he had at the end of last year and then again in spring training kind of undid him at the start of the year. He was okay. And then you started to see something interesting happening. Starting in like late June, early July, Encarnacion basically is a strikeout per walk guy. He's got excellent plate discipline for a guy with his power. He was striking out a lot and not walking as much as you expect by his standards in the first, let's say, 10 weeks, 3 months of the season. Month of July, 17 walks and only 11 strikeouts in July. Now you include that, but also just say since the All-Star break, 13 walks and only 7 strikeouts in 61 at-bats since the All-Star break, and now you're seeing all the other happiness come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
344 average, 7 doubles, 3 homers, 10 RBIs. And I'll tell you what, I watched that game yesterday against the Twins on Thursday. Homer, 2 doubles, 4 RBIs. He hit the ball so hard.
He hurts the ball.
I mean, 110 miles an hour batted ball velocity is basically elite in the non-Stanton category. You hit it 110, you're just destroying the ball.
Yep.
I think all 3 of his extra base hits were like 105, 108, 110. The second double, the gapper, was 110 off the bat. He's murdering the ball right now. And you look at that plate discipline, he's making pitchers come to him. And I think either the back is finally feeling better or whatever it was, he's making pitchers work him. And when he gets his pitch, he's murdering it. So maybe he won't make a run at 50, but now he's on pace for 30 again.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 35.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, teammate Josh Donaldson's going bananas. He's on pace for 45 homers and 120 RBIs.
MVP.
Crazy, crazy kind of numbers.
Did you know that Teixeira had a higher OPS than the Bringer of Rain?
Really?
Yeah, for a little bit. He still may.
Probably because of the walks.
Yeah, they were showing. They were just basically showing the MVP candidates in the AL. Mr. Trout, duh. Donaldson, and then and Teixeira. And
yeah.
They, you know, they listed everything: average, homers, ribbies, and OPS. And I was surprised. Teixeira had him by maybe less than 10.
Yeah.
But still, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, in a fair fight, you're still going to go for Donaldson because
of
the defensive value. But, you know, unbelievable. I mean, that, like you said at the top, you know, with Tulowitzki, they're 9-0 since they got Tulowitzki.
Mm-hmm.
He's swinging the bat. Donaldson's on fire. Encarnacion's on fire. You're starting to see Bautista hit. The power numbers have been there, but everything else is coming now. They're getting a ton of production out of the bottom half of that lineup. You know, Ben Revere in the 9-hole, second leadoff hitter, sets it up for the run producers. I mean, that's a Hulk smash lineup right now.
Unbelievable. Well, here they come into the boogie down for a weekend series.
Gonna be fun.
First place, not on the line just yet, but you never know. You never know.
If they sweep them.
They sweep them, it gets very interesting.
Very interesting.
Where
they play 13 times between now and the end of the season?
I think it might even be 14.
Yeah.
And the way, and, you know, people are like, well, David Price is gonna pitch in four of those. And it's talked about so much, it's like, you know what? Just let Price pitch every game. Just let him pitch every game.
Well, don't forget, when the Brewers got Sabathia,
yeah,
I think in 2008 or 2009,
yeah,
he pitched on 3 days rest for like a month and a half,
yep,
and threw like 125 pitches in every single game.
Yeah.
Bananas. That's what you call putting a team on your back.
Yeah, and then getting a long-term contract that is a little not that pretty at the end.
Long-term deals for pitchers never work out.
They never do.
Crazy time.
Never, ever, ever. All right, let's go to the Twitter machine and get your questions before we wrap this puppy up. At Cham the Truth, trade Cargo for Adam Jones.
Negative. You know, maybe on draft day you would have done that because of the uncertainty around Cargo's knee, but now we know what he is. For the last month, he's been stinging the ball, hitting for average, hitting for power. We know he's not going to run anymore. He's basically the better version of Adam Jones.
There you go.
So knowing what we know now on a go-forward basis, I'm sticking with Cargo.
I agree. At IK_47.
AK47. That's great.
What do you think? Oh, yeah. Isn't that K? Anyway, what do you think about this trade? Adrian Gonzalez and Justin Turner, who is on the DL, for Scott Kazmir, Matt Holliday, who's on the DL, and Dustin Pedroia.
Well, I think things about it that I can't say on a family-oriented podcast.
Okay.
So I would just say I would strongly and unequivocally prefer the Agons Justin Turner side.
Okay. As you wish. At Danny Concept 24. So not the Concepcion.
That's Davey Concept.
Yeah, Danny. But this is Danny Concept 20. Was Davey Concepcion 24?
He was number 10 maybe?
10, yes.
You're right. No, 11.
11.
Sparky was 10, Concepcion was 11.
Good job. Good job there, old man. Way to remember the Big Red Machine.
Thanks,
Snaggletooth. Anyway, Stanton and Arenado for Cueto and Frazier. Who wins?
It's actually a pretty fair deal because Stanton admittedly is coming back slowly from that wrist injury. Mm-hmm. You know, Arenado for Frazier, you say, is probably a wash. Frazier maybe a little bit of a bump because of the speed, but Nolan Arenado, I don't know if you noticed, leads the National League in RBIs.
That's pretty good.
He's having an unbelievable year. And Cueto is an ace. So depending on your needs, if you can afford to fade the offense a little bit, you probably take the Stanton side. But if you can take the hit on the offense and you need the pitcher, I like the Cueto side. I think it's a good, fair trade.
Okay. At OU Shaw Daddy, Iwakuma, Taiwan Walker, or Latos ROS, which means rest of season?
It's interesting,
great,
you know.
I
mean,
question.
Walker has been unbelievable at times in the last, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months, but he's also had a couple of stinkers mixed in there. You know, Iwakuma hasn't been up to his previous standards, but he's been okay. Latos's last 7-8 starts, including his first start with the Dodgers, has been excellent.
Yeah.
Sitting 93-94 with the fastball again. He's a tinkerer. He's one of those guys like Clay Buchholz or Phil Hughes who's always changing his repertoire. But the mix he's got going right now with basically three different variations of his fastball, slider, curve, changeups. I think he's throwing a splitter now, you name it. Leitos has been very effective. I like him with the Dodgers. Their bullpen isn't great, but I like him with that offense and everything else behind him. So I'm going with Leitos.
I am too. You know, no offense to the other two, but I think Leitos is more or less the clear-cut guy here.
Okay.
More or less. At Dan Port, our buddy Dan in L.A.,
tweeting at us from the moon while he's wearing Zubaz pants.
Eating endangered species.
Right. punching a clown.
Punching a clown.
I love it.
Oh, God. No way I can trade Donaldson for A-Rod and Billy Hamilton, right? Even if I really need steals?
Yes way. Because you're getting, what, let's say A-Rod is 85% of Donaldson, and you're getting all the steals from Billy Hamilton.
How many steals over 2 months from Billy Hamilton? 20?
20 plus.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty crazy. He's the difference maker in that category, even when he's hitting 230 or 240. So it's more about can you afford the, you know, can you take the risk in batting average, and who is Hamilton replacing? A-Rod's replacing Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Hamilton replacing?
Right.
But purely on the surface value of this one for two, if it fits the needs, it makes sense.
Trip down memory lane with Dan in L.A., appropriate for this show. At Mets Mania 05, Brandon Moss, or Mark Trumbo rest of season?
Okay, whatever.
Here's my Brandon Moss story for you. So I was fourth in money in FAB. Not in America. I'm in about four quadrillionth in America in money. And so I went and looked at what everybody else had because, you know, that's the adult thing to do. Two people had $100. One person had 94. I had 91.
Mm-hmm.
I had $91 at deadline. And I was in fourth.
And couldn't get your guy.
So I settled for Moss. And I didn't spend my whole bucket on him. But I spent a lot on him.
Did the top guys bid 100?
Yeah.
On who?
Reyes and who else came over the NL?
I don't know.
Reyes and come on. What were the trades?
That was 6 days ago, 7 days ago.
Yeah, but come on.
We're not leaving
until we figure this out.
All right, anyway, move on.
Anyway,
so Brandon Moss.
So I got Brandon Moss. I didn't realize how bad he really was
this
year. He is just, thank God he's lefty.
Yeah, he hasn't been very good. The Cardinals will platoon. I guess Trumbo, but, it's really sort of rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah. Come on, it was Reyes and who? Two guys worth $100.
Let's keep going and we'll think about it.
Anyway, this is sad that we can't think about off the top of our head. The Doc Aquatic. Here's Taijuan Walker
Steve
again.
Zissou. Okay.
Steve Zissou. Taijuan Walker or Julio Teheran rest of season?
Teheran's been great for several weeks now when pitching at home. He still hasn't been that great on the road. Walker's been so erratic. I mean, a one-hitter, his last start. I don't know. I mean, I would probably go with Teheran because at least you know what you can do with him. You know that he's probably a home-away play right now, whereas Walker, it's kind of hard to play the matchups with him because of his inconsistency. As good as his top end is, his ceiling is probably greater than Teheran's, but his floor is lower. You know what I mean? And when it comes to pitching, my first thing is I want to avoid the blow-up. I may not get the superstar, the one-hitter, but I want to avoid the blow-up. So I'm probably taking Teheran and then using him in all home starts and maybe soft road starts.
Okay. All right. This is killing me. Now, hold on. We're looking this up. Where is it? View all. I'm in my league. View all. And by the way, here's that note I mentioned earlier. Casher was told by Joe Maddon that his Friday benching is not just a day off.
Okay.
That is a report from the Daily
Herald. That's the rapport. Okay.
But, why would you make something like that up?
You wouldn't.
This is just all.
All right, do the last question. The last tweet.
This is killing me.
Will you please?
At Go Buckeyes for Life. Rank these shortstops from here on out.
This is a good one. There's six names, so I'll talk about.
Oh, good, nice, good. Job.
Okay, Alcides Escobar, Alexei.
Get up, Alexei.
John
Get
Segura, Jung Ho Kang, Yunel Escobar, Elvis Andrus. Now, ranking all six of these guys, they're all very different players for very different needs. Mm-hmm. Average and speed, you're looking at Escobar, Andrus, maybe Segura a little bit below them. Mm-hmm. Yunel Escobar having a great year, hitting for average, very high average, a little bit of power, but not a speed guy. Alexei, after a terrible start, has been coming on. starting to drive the ball, starting to hit some home runs, but not stealing a bunch. And finally, Kong hits for a little average, hits for a little power, steals a base. He's sort of like a low-end five-category guy because he's doing a little bit of everything, and he's eligible at third and short. So really to rank them isn't really the appropriate approach. It's who do you need? What's the best fit? What do you need? If I'm looking at it, I'm probably just taking the guy who I think gives me the most balanced value. I like Kong in that case. But if I need speed, I'm probably going to look at someone like Escobar or Segura. So you have to get the player that fits your needs. We're on August 7th, all right? You have to be worried about categories right now and specific needs rather than just giving me the best name.
Zach Greinke, first starting pitcher since 1949 to win a game in which he allowed 5+ runs before getting an out.
That's good.
How about that?
There's the Joe Ross note. So who's your other player?
It's the easiest thing ever. Who's that? That's why it's so annoying. Cespedes for the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, Cespedes.
So Cespedes and Reyes are out there. I get Brandon.
Get Brandon Moss.
I get Brandon.
Well, at least you got Brandon Moss. It could have been you got a whole lot of Ungats.
I might have gotten Ungats anyway.
You did get Brandon Moss.
All right, so the rest of the season, for those of you who stuck through this all the way.
And didn't pick up the hints.
It's going to be, as George Steinbrenner once said, it's time to let some of the elephants into the tent. The younger elephants. And I'm pretty old, so I'm sure most of these guys are younger than me. So from here on out for the rest of the regular season and through October, because, October is October, we'll be hearing from our new contributors here at the Fantasy 411 podcast, Dylan, right?
Dylan Higgins,
Fred Zinke,
yep.
And friends. And you'll pop in every once in a while, maybe?
Yeah, I think I can.
If you're so inclined.
I think I'm going to be relegated to special guest status from here on out.
You've been put out to the pasture?
That's fine. This dog is back on the porch.
Put that dog back on the porch. But we'll reunite, I'm sure, down the road, but just not this regular season. But thanks to everybody for downloading the podcast. Keep doing it. The content is just getting better and better and better with the additions that we've made here at MLB.com, especially on the fantasy side.
Like, finally, after 13 years, they found two guys who can do a proper podcast. Finally, they can get rid of us.
Hey, you know, we could build all sorts of apps and, stream HD video, but for fantasy podcasts, it takes a little time.
Yeah, it took time to cultivate them. I think Dylan Higgins was in fourth grade when we started doing this.
Did you see Mike Hessman, who broke the minor league home run record?
Yeah, like 300.
He got drafted in 1996.
Yeah.
1996.
Well, Dylan and Fred have been doing a great job. Fred Zinke, everybody knows about. Dylan's a guy who actually, all joking aside, I've known Dylan through the industry for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. He's done podcasts for other outlets. He's worked in the Arizona Fall League. He's worked in Australia. He knows a ton about baseball. He's a fantasy baseball junkie and a real good guy. And he's a little weird, I got to say. He's a little bit of a weird
dude.
You're
a little weird, too.
Well, that's why I think he's going to be good at this. And Fred, everybody knows who Fred is. Two Tout Wars flags and two second places in 4 years. His chops need no further explanation. So it's going to be a lot of fun with those guys. And the first couple of pods that they've done that I listened to, I really enjoyed. So I think they're going to put together more good stuff.
And they're excited to do it,
Not jaded old freaks like
exactly.
us.
Exactly. I'm like, really? Really? Do I really have to come downstairs? Do I really have to get away from my desk?
I was so busy sitting at my desk eating cupcakes.
Exactly. Just a bunch of grumpy old men. But thanks to everybody. Keep listening. Keep downloading. Keep subscribing. Keep reading. And as always, and forever, thanks everybody on the other side of the glass. This has been the MLB.com Fantasy 411.